Okay, I hate to break up social hour, but it's time to start our worship service. As soon as the preacher's wife comes in, we'll... No handout. James is slipping. No handout. Okay, let's get ready for our morning of worship. I have a lecture special I want to cover. So let's begin with the word of prayer. And I don't know where everyone is. Are they out marching? And what, I don't understand where everyone is. But who's paying them? Who? Oh, yeah. Yeah. That's... And they claim Trump is for hate. All I see is hate. Burning the American flag, destroying public property, skipping classes, and protesting. I see hate there. I don't see hate yet anywhere else, but I see it there. Okay, let's begin with the word of prayer. And that all that we do will be glorifying to him. Let's pray. Now, Heavenly Father, how grateful we are for your word. It gives to us direction, regardless of what's going on. It tells us, Heavenly Father, how we are to be in our lives, in our marriages, in our churches. Father, we pray that all that we do this morning will be glorifying to you, glorifying to your Son, in whose precious name we pray. Amen. Based upon some things I'm going to be saying this morning, Brian?
Would you all join us, please, in the song Sweet Hour of Prayer, which is 401. If you have a songbook nearby, please turn to number 401, Sweet Hour of Prayer.
If you hear piano mistakes, I'll do it a cappella.
Was this confession before?
Yes.
Share till from Mount Pisgah's
Thank you. And speaking of Sweet Hour of Prayer, let's talk about some prayer requests. First of all, how's Thomas doing?
He's doing well.
Doing well.
He is. He's hanging
good
in there.
What would you have us be in prayer this week for Thomas?
That he continues to focus on his schoolwork and stuff.
Okay.
You know, he's doing better since he got his classes adjusted. I see a peace over him, and he's not so stressed.
Good.
So, you know, continue to do well, though, and time management probably is a good one.
I always felt better when I adjusted my classes by dropping half of them. And I'm just kidding. I'm kidding. No, we will definitely be in prayer for his health and for school. Good. Glad to hear that.
3-year knee checkup right before Thanksgiving. He drives to Houston and gets that checkup.
So okay.
We're expecting that to be fine. But the,
good. Well, we'll be in prayer for his trip.
Okay.
Well, thank you. And speaking of trip, need to be in prayer for Phil and Pat. They'll be driving back today from Houston. He went down to perform a marriage in his family. So be prayerful that they make it home back safely. Let's see. Does anyone know how Tanya's doing? Pat usually keeps us abreast of it, but... all right, well, let's just continue to be in prayer for Tanya, and that her mouth and jaw will heal as she would have it to heal. Yes.
Mom was telling me last week that she's struggling with just some personal issues related to all of the down in your health. You know, how you deal.
Yeah. So all right, so we need to be in prayer for
that. She personally.
As well as the actual physical.
Right.
Good. All right. Sometimes we forget that. We need to be in prayer. Thank you very much. Any other prayers? Yes, sir.
A friend of mine, Bill Carey, passed away a month ago. He's a singer from the 50s. Bill Carey, and also pray for Jimmy Mack, my friend here in Texas, who he's got bad shape with cancer. His wife's going for divorce, but he was peed off because he couldn't go to the cemetery this past Veterans Day. For the first time in his life, he missed that, and that's what he's pissed off about.
This is not the best time to be in New York. Good grief. Okay, any other prayer? Yes.
A couple of prayer requests and an announcement. I'll start with the announcement. After the service, you said we should finish about 1. So after the service, anybody that can hang around, we're going to stuff the stockings for the troops.
Good.
Prayer request. Y'all remember back in April, we were praying Sylvia Dennis passed away. Bill Dennis, her husband, passed away Friday.
Oh, wow.
So prayers for the family, which includes his sister, Barbara.
Okay.
She's, I think, down in San Antonio. They're having a memorial service in Birmingham at Doctrinal Studies. So prayer for me, I'm driving over early tomorrow morning to be there for the memorial service.
Wow.
And then a buddy.
Your prayer for your travel.
Thank you. And then a buddy of mine is in Special Forces. His wife, Donna Novak, had just passed away.
Unexpected?
She'd been sick for a while, then had kind of recovered, and things were going, as far as I know, well. So I don't know. I don't know how unexpected this was.
Okay. We'll be in prayer. Yeah.
So thank you.
I will be in prayer for your travel there and back. Or when will we be coming back?
Maybe Wednesday.
Okay, we'll be in prayer. Okay, yes.
Cindy Edwards has a request for her granddaughter Gabby. Gabby's friend, Nicole, who's 25.
Natasha,
they think she has cervical cancer. So prayer for that.
And Cindy's not feeling well herself.
I was just going to say, let's be in prayer for Cindy Amber. She's one of our faithful, listen to every class. She's just as much a member here as anyone. So let's be in prayer for Cindy Edwards in Wichita Falls, Texas. Yes?
I saw somewhere that Wes was requesting some prayers.
Do what?
Wes.
Wes.
Wes Tuttle.
Yes. Be in prayer for Wes Tuttle. He needs your prayers. He needs your prayers very much. Yes?
Yeah, Chris and Ben are on their way back from Gonzales, Texas today. They went on a youth hunt this weekend.
Oh, okay.
So they left Friday, coming back today. So just prayers for safe travel for that.
And he still thinks he's young, doesn't he?
Chris, Ben was excited. Chris was way excited. And also continued prayers, please, for Cameron. Just, you know, God's continuing to work there, and doors that are closing for some things that Cameron has really had on his heart that he wanted, and door keeps closing there. Just amazing things going on. Cameron, a couple of buddies that have been kind of accountability partners praying together and stuff that are really working together, trying to get back to church. Cameron just said last Sunday the message was, fear not, God's got this. And so just, you know, please continue to pray for his soul.
Absolutely. You know, it's really interesting. We're all different. In all my life, I have really loved closed doors more than well, do I go this way or that way? I like slam. Okay, that's good. That was still, now I go this way. And but they're tough. But I like closed doors better than open ones.
Angry, you know, for a while with just some different things, but you can just see, like when I talked to him and he said, Mom, I'm not worried about this anymore.
Good.
Like,
very
just,
good.
You can
good
just see that. Yeah, so just keep praying.
Please be in prayer for Cameron and God's plan in his life, that he'll see it, be open, listen, be still and listen. Very good. Okay.
Jim, if he wants prayer for A&M.
We are not talking
about
that.
That's not very nice.
Yes.
I think prayer time's over for A&M. Did I say yes?
Just a praise report. Thanks for praying for it. The church server, please continue to pray. Finally found a PCI sound card that would take 16-bit, meaning something that potentially would reduce the file size and keep us afloat longer.
Okay. Thank you. Good. Yes.
Yeah, please keep my mother, Mary Jane, in.
Absolutely.
She's stabilized, and so we'll just see how she goes.
How's your brother?
He's very stable, yeah. Don't know about any new information on CAT scans or anything, but he's doing well.
We'll be in prayer for both of them.
Thank you very much.
Good. Yes.
On our youth group, really thank you very much for continuing to be in prayer. The group is growing. The group is
good.
Thriving, really. I would like to ask if you guys could be in prayer for our seniors. This is a very interesting time where we hope doors close and open in the direction God wants them to for where they make their decisions on going to school. As you know, many universities are certainly not teaching the things that they, you know, have in their minds, and so we'd like to kind of hope that God can guide them in the right home for them for the next 4 years.
Certainly will. Yeah, well, God shut down Harvard and Stanford from me. I closed those doors, and that was that. So, yes, we'll be in prayer. It's decision-making. Next 3 or 4 years of their lives. So we'll be in prayer. Any other prayer requests? The Word of God declares, whatsoever man purposes in his soul to give, so let him give not grudgingly nor of necessity, for God loveth the gracious giver. The gracious giver is defined as one who has personally believed in Jesus Christ as Savior, but also one who knows how to be filled with the Spirit by grace through faith, because it is the Holy Spirit who guides us on what to do with our time and our money. So with these things in mind, let us prepare ourselves for the offertory by prayer. Heavenly Father, we're an humble assembly and we know it, but we also know you're using us in so many ways. The internet outreach, I get emails, people that I don't even know. Missionary outreach, please be in prayer for the Grizzlies as they need our prayers. The Hills, as they are now ministering in Africa right now. Our young people outreach in 2 different homes in this assembly. Pray that you'll be with the parents of these homes. Give them patience. wisdom. And then, Heavenly Father, right here in our own assembly, worshiping together, encouraging one another. Father, pray therefore you receive the offerings that we're about to give, that you will continue to use them to bring honor and glory to the King of Kings and to the Lord of Lords, even Jesus Christ, our Savior. In his precious name we pray. Amen. Okay, we do not have a handout this morning, but you will need your Bibles. This is a Bible church, and you will need your Bibles this morning as we will do a search through some scriptures in his precious word. Let's begin with the word of prayer. We're in the second part of a two-part election special. Let's begin with the word of prayer. Father, we pray for wisdom on what you would have us to do and be. I pray now your Spirit will open our eyes to things we're going to see in Scripture. We will understand what you're doing. To this end, Father, we do pray in Christ's name. Amen. Okay, I titled this message today, Taking Advantage of God's Mercy. Judgment is what America deserves. But God is dealing with us in mercy. Now, what's the difference between mercy and grace? Mercy is not getting what you deserve. Grace is getting what you do not deserve. So right now, we are receiving the mercy of God. When you consider the Supreme Court decisions in the past 10 years, when you consider the decisions by the president, over the last 7 years, when you consider what's going on in the pulpits in this country, America does not deserve any grace from God. Sometimes I'll get an email from someone and they'll say, God bless America. And I just respond, why should he? Why should he bless? Now, when we deserve judgment. Now, some people, Christians, do not believe this, do not like it when I talk about this way. Open your Bibles to Romans chapter 1, please. Romans 1, verse 18. Romans 1, 18. For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who suppress the truth in unrighteousness. This describes America to a T. Note the wrath of God. But also note why God is in wrath. Ungodliness, unrighteousness. Now, I'm going to be talking about this from a national standpoint, but you need to be aware of this in your own personal lives. Ungodliness, unrighteousness. Wrath is the outward expression of displeasure. And let me tell you something. God's wrath is spoken throughout the New Testament in the present tense. And in the future. Look at John chapter 3. John 3:36, what we're going to be looking at. If you're taking notes. John 3:36. He who believes in the Son as Savior has eternal life. But he who does not obey, which means to believe, the Son will not see life, but the wrath of God abides on him. People, there's not much talk about the wrath of God today. We all love, love, love. People, God is a God of wrath. And you better know that. And if you don't know it, I have failed as a pastor. We've got to understand he is a God of wrath. And it's in the present tense in Romans 1:18. And because of ungodliness and unrighteousness. So wrath is what this nation deserves. But instead, we have received a moment of mercy. Now, question, why? Why has God given us mercy? Well, we don't know for sure, but let me give you a couple of options. Option one, because he is a merciful God. Look at Ephesians 2. We're going to look at Ephesians 2:4. We deserve wrath, but Ephesians 2:4, but God, being rich in mercy, because of his great love with which he loved us. So that's one reason. Two, for the sake of the righteous in this country, the remnant, and that means you. Across this country, there are pockets of believers who are true believers in Christ. By that I mean they have truly believed in Christ as Savior, and they love his word, and they study his word. The story of Abraham is an interesting story right now. God was going to demolish Sodom and Gomorrah, but Abraham, close to God, and I would say this is very close. I'm not sure I would want to bargain with God, but oh, Abe, he was close to God. And he said, how about for the sake of 50? Will you not do it? And God said, okay, I'll do that. Now, if you can find 50 righteous, you're in. I'll spare them. Well, he got him down, as you know, the story of 10. Couldn't find 10. Couldn't find 10. People, God is not concerned with big numbers. He will use this humble assembly as long as we are in truth and love his word, both written and living, the written word and the living word. He will use this assembly. Now the question, what are we going to do with this time of grace, this time of mercy? The body of Christ can squander it away, doing nothing but enjoying it ourselves, or we can take advantage of the mercy of God. America did not take advantage when God gave America Ronald Reagan. He was a Bible-believing believer. He held the Bible up as president. This is the Word of God. This is the final authority. It is a phenomenal film strip of Ronald Reagan. But we didn't take advantage of it. Since that time, we've had the globalists, Bushes, Clintons, and Obama. People, we need to take advantage of the mercy of God. Don't push his mercy too far. Now, I'm going to cover just three ways of taking advantage of the mercy of God. I'm sure there are a multitude of others, and I could have made a long list. I want to make it short where you can remember it. Three ways of taking advantage of the mercy of God. And the first one, and most important, prayer. Prayer. I hope you've learned the all importance of prayer. Prayer is a powerful weapon. Prayer is a profitable way to take advantage and use of God's mercy. Prayer is a profitable use of your time in your life. Now, about prayer. I'm not going to spend a long time, but I want to be sure you got some things down as you go into, if you respond to what we're going to be studying this morning in regard to prayer. First of all, prayer must be in accordance with the will of God. And in order to be in the will of God, you've got to know the Word of God. Let's look at Romans, or 1 John. Let's look at 1 John 5:14. 1 John 5:14. You can find Revelation real quick. You can find 1 John. Just skip past one page of Jude, and go to 1 John. 1 John chapter 5, verse 14. And this is the confidence which we have before him, that if we ask according to his will, he will hear us. People, be careful how you pray. Oh, I want this to happen. I want Obama to, I want Trump to do that, and I want the Republicans to do this, and I want all of the people that hate Trump to be nice, and I want, no, calm down. Put your desires here. What does God want? You have to know the Word of God in order to pray according to the Word of God. Secondly, and as almost as important as the first one, pray in the power of the Holy Spirit. Ephesians 6. So let's look at Ephesians chapter 6. After this morning, you'll tell James thank you for the handouts, because otherwise this would all be printed up. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 18. 6:18. With all prayer and petition, pray at all times in the Holy Spirit. And with this in view, be on the alert with all perseverance and petition for all believers, all the saints. So, people got to understand the importance of prayer, the power of prayer. Pray according to his will, pray in the power of the Holy Spirit. Okay. Well, we're going to pray. My outline for you. First, prayer of thanksgiving. In all things, give thanks. Thank God for his mercy. He has spared us for a short time of a president who is anti-constitutional and a globalization. And you have to understand how vital that is. Globalization means anti-America. Globalization fits right in with all that's going to be happening in the tribulation. But in the tribulation, there will be globalization and there will be nations. You're going to have both of those movements working. So we have been relieved for a short time at least from an anti-American president. One of the most interesting election stories that I heard after the election Tuesday night was from the UN, where the summarizing it, I wrote it down, they are upset about the run of globalization. That's what the UN's response was to Trump being elected. They know it's not going to go for the globalization way. So we can give thanks for his mercy of time. Give thanks to God. Let's look at Psalm 67. Psalm 67. And oh, people, there are so many psalms that we could have turned to. But let's look at Psalm 67. God is gracious. God be gracious to us and bless us and cause his face to shine upon us, that thy way may be known on the earth, thy salvation among all nations. Let the peoples praise thee, O God. These are the born-again believers. Let all the peoples praise thee. Let the nations be glad and sing for joy. For thou wilt judge the people with uprightness and guide the nations on the earth. Let the people praise thee, O God. Let all the earth praise thee. The earth has yielded its produce. God, our God, blesses us. God blesses us, that all the ends of the earth may respect him. So, people, your prayer is a prayer of thanksgiving. Your prayer is a prayer that praises God. So first is the prayer of thanksgiving for his mercy. Secondly, prayer of intercession. Prayer of intercession. People, we need to be in prayer for the president-elect, Donald Trump. Now, I want you to understand something. I am not saying that he is the best. I'm not saying that he has all the answers. But he is not a globalizationist. He stands and loves the Constitution of this country and the freedom of this country. He needs your prayers. You need to pray for his safety. You need to pray for his wisdom. Wisdom from above. He's in the process of picking his staff. People, there's really very little more important than that. Those are the people that have the king's ear. In history, there have been those who want to be king, but there have been very wise men. I just want to have the king's ear. That's what I want. Have the king's ear. He needs your prayers in picking his staff. He's already started backtracking on some major issues that he spoke about, but now he is making some very important decisions and needs our prayers. I want to talk a moment about the number two man in control. I want to talk about Vice President Mike Pence. Now, Pat McMillan's daughter, Larry's sister, name is Leah, lives in Indiana. I talked to her the other night on the phone. She used to go to Bible studies in Indiana with Karen, the vice president's wife, used to go to Bible study with him. And she told me without a shadow of a doubt that the vice president and his wife are born-again believers. They believe in Jesus Christ as their Savior. And they both love his word. Now, I don't know for certain about Trump. I got on the internet, and there are some believers, evangelicals, who say that he is. I don't know what they've heard. I don't want to know what they know. So I don't know if he's a believer or not. I know that he prays with Mike, his vice president, before major speaking conventions. But we do not really know for certain whether he's a believer or not. But people, let me get you to understand something. I pray he's a believer, not for America, but for his eternal state. Whether or not one is a believer or not isn't the real issue in regard to whether or not they'll make a good president. Doesn't mean that at all. I personally think Jimmy Carter is a born-again believer. He's one of the worst presidents that we've had in our nation's history. 44. He's one of the worst, but he is behind Barack Obama, Woodrow Wilson, FDR, and then Jimmy Carter. And he's a born-again believer. Not a good president. That doesn't mean somebody's going to be a good president. But what we want to be in prayer is that the man who has the president's ear, the vice president, can whisper in wisdom. Sound wisdom in decisions that have to be made both now and throughout the next 4 years. It is no surprise. The headline in the internet news, Pence is in command. And when I saw that headline, I just went, thank you, Father. That's good. Not that he's a believer, people, but that he is a Bible-believing believer. That's a big difference. He knows the truth of the Word of God. So we need to be in prayer for the president. We need to be in prayer for the vice president and his family. And people, I mean daily prayer. I don't know how much time you have, but take 5 minutes off of your Facebook and put it into prayer. I used to say, get in the book. Now I'm going to beckon you, get into prayer. Get into prayer. This is important. So there's a movement to demand a recount of electoral votes. They want them to change their votes. The globalist liberals who are anti-Trump, anti-what's going on, anti-the Constitution, are demanding they change their electoral votes. People, they need our prayers. president, the vice president, their wives, their families, and people that they appoint. Be in prayer for wisdom from above in all the decisions that they're in the process of making. So, first of all, prayer of thanksgiving. Secondly, intercessory prayer. And if you have to, have it written down on a 3x5 card. Whatever you use, I use 3x5 cards. I got them all over the house, all over my desk. I got stacks of them. I don't know what's in some of them now, but when I wrote it down, it was important. See? But write these names down. Intercessory prayer. And third, pray for yourself. Pray for yourself. A lot of times believers don't do that. Pray for yourself, that you'll continue to have a love for the Word of God, that you'll grow in the knowledge of Jesus Christ, that you will pray in the power of the Holy Spirit. So prayer is the first way we take advantage of God's mercy. Be a prayer warrior every day. Add these things to your prayer: the president elect, vice president, and their families, protection and wisdom. Now we'll come to the second. Jim asked me if it's going to be extra long. I have no idea. We may be here to 1. We may get out at 11:30. I don't care. I want to go through these three things. The second thing, witness. Witness. Take advantage of the mercy time frame by witnessing for Christ. People, it's a prime time to witness. Multitude of Americans were not necessarily for Trump, but they did not like the direction of the nation. They're not in fear. They want hope. And you have it. Share it. You have it. They're not angry. They want hope. And you have it. Share it. You have it. They want change. They're not satisfied with the change that Obama promised and did bring. Those who knew better knew it before he was even elected, where he was headed, because he stole us. He told us before he was elected, I don't like our Constitution. It's defrauded. It's got flaws in it. The men were flawed. He told us. He told us these things. But we went ahead as a nation and voted him in twice. So the people now have reached a point they're not satisfied with this change. See? Now, you have the answers. You have an understanding of what's going on. They want change about our Constitution, about our country, about our military. They want the change back to the Constitution. They are uncertain about the future and about the years, 8 years of wreckage that has gone on. And you have the answers. Not Donald Trump and not the Republican Party. You have the answers. The answer is Jesus Christ, who died for them, rose for them. You have that knowledge in your soul. Share it. Every day, share it. You may witness to 50 people. People, you finally come to one, they'll say, ah, that's what I've been looking for. Tell me more. Tell me more. And you'll watch your soul get excited. Don't become discouraged with the other 49. There's one who wants it. And you got to be ready in season and out of season. You are not a witness for Donald Trump. You're not a witness for the Republican Party. You're a witness for Jesus Christ. You know him. You love him. Garrison your souls. Be ready to share eternity with anyone, everyone. Ask them, you ever heard of Jesus Christ? Most of them would say yes. Do you know why he died? You're probably going to get a no there. There's your input. Let me tell you why he died. He died for you. He died that you can go to heaven. Whatever way it is for you to witness, there's no one set way. God the Holy Spirit uses every one of us, uses our personality, uses our way. of doing it. You just have to be ready to witness for Christ. Tell them he died for them and he rose before them. Now, let me give you five things in regard to witnessing. One, the gospel. You know it, and you know it correctly. It's not by works. It's by grace through faith. Two, verbal communication. In fact, I want you to see this. Look at 1 Thessalonians. We studied this. Look at 1 Thessalonians. You know where that is. 1 Thessalonians. And look at verse 5 of 1 Thessalonians. This one verse sets up the procedure of being a witness for Christ. For our gospel did not come to you in word only, verbally, but also in the power, even in the Holy Spirit, with full conviction, just as you know what kind of men we proved to be among you for your benefit. So we're going to learn five things from this one verse about being a witness. One, the gospel. Be sure you got it down. Got it down right and simple. Two, verbal communication. Be ready. Well, I don't witness. I just don't like to talk to people. Malarkey. You're talking about their eternal soul. You're not talking about a football game. You're not talking about a political election. You're talking about their soul. Forever. Three, in the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit, people, when you make the gospel clear, that's it. You've done all you can do. Then it's up to the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit is in them, convicting them of things that you will tell them about Christ and about the gospel. Let him do his work. Don't get in his way. You don't have to debate anyone, argue with anyone. Just give him the gospel. That's all you have to do, and the Holy Spirit will do the rest. Four, with conviction. With conviction. I mean, you listen to some people that were for Trump and for Hillary, they have conviction. Sometimes they're obnoxious. Don't become obnoxious, but have conviction. And then five, by your life. Number two was verbal. Number five, by your life. Let them see the love of Christ. Let them see these things in you. See? Let them see it. The gospel. That's what you're communicating. That's what you're a witness of. Look at Romans chapter 1. Romans chapter 1. I didn't type out the verses because I wanted to look them with you so that we could all have fun going through our Bibles. Romans chapter 1, verse 16. Romans 1, 16. For I am not ashamed of the gospel, for it is the power of God for salvation to everyone who believes, to the Jew first, and also to the Greek. There's no way. How do you witness? You just tell them. It amazes me. Man, how do you witness? Well, you let a single guy get on a plane, and there's in the next seat where he's going to sit is his beautiful doll. It doesn't take him long to say, kind of warm in here, isn't it? Kind of cool in here, isn't it? Can I get you anything, can I? It doesn't take him long at all. People, that's our concern about their souls. Not ashamed of the gospel. Share it with people. They want it. They're begging for it. I don't know if there's going to be a great revival, but I can tell you this. We're in some grace period right now. We're in some grace period, and people are looking. Like I said, some of them maybe didn't vote for Trump so much as they voted against something. They're looking. They want hope. And you've got it. The gospel. The power of God unto salvation. Look at Hebrews chapter 4. I'm giving you verses so you can go over these in your own private time. Hebrews chapter 4, verse 12. Hebrews 4:12. For the word of God, put the gospel there. The word of God is the gospel. For the word of God is living and active and sharper than any two-edged sword, and piercing as far as a division of the soul and the spirit, of both joints and marrow, able to judge the thoughts and intentions of the heart. People, you've got something that's going to go right into their soul. It's not a debate about the Constitution. I love the Constitution. To me, it's the greatest document written by man other than the Word of God. But we have the gospel. We have the Word of God. It's alive. It's not written by man. It's written by the Holy Spirit. So we have the gospel. Look at Isaiah 55. Isaiah 55, verse 11. And this is beautiful, people. I hope you never forget it. So shall my word be, which goes forth from my mouth. It shall not return to me empty, without accomplishing what I desire, and without succeeding in the matter for which I sent it. People, you're giving these people the Word of God. And I don't care if they don't believe in Christ right then. You've planted the seed. They may never believe, but you planted the seed. You fulfill the purpose. They are without excuse. They have had it clearly presented to them. You're dealing with something that is alive and powerful and will not return void, not return empty, something that is powerful. Let's look at Ephesians chapter 6. Ephesians chapter 6. Taking advantage of the mercy of God, be a witness for Christ. Ephesians 6. Look at verse 15. We got two verses in Ephesians 6. Ephesians 6, 15. And having sod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace. People, you've got the answer to peace. It isn't based on having the best military in the world. It isn't based on having the best military personnel in the world. It's based upon God and Christ and what He's already accomplished. You have it. Present it to others. Now look at verse 20 in Ephesians 6. For which I am an ambassador in chains, that in proclaiming it the gospel, I may speak boldly as I ought to speak. People, we ought to speak boldly about it. We ought to speak boldly about the gospel. Not obnoxiously, not rudely, but boldly. Don't be afraid. Don't be afraid to give somebody the gospel. Use, take advantage of the time that is given to us. It's to our advantage. And what does it mean to have that confidence? Look at Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8. And we're going to read verses, the last two verses in Romans 8, 38 and 39. For I am convinced that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor things present, nor things to come, nor powers, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ our Lord. That's your message. That's your confidence in being a witness for Christ. You have that kind of confidence in who and what He is and what He has accomplished for us. So people, we need to be a witness for Jesus Christ. This depends on you. Depends on you being ready, in season, out of season. I don't care where you go. I've done some powerful witnessing in nightclubs. I've done some powerful witnessing at football games. I've done some powerful witnessing at a show, theater. I'll never forget, I went to a movie, and the movie was, I forgot what it was, it doesn't matter. I got up, it is sick. Now, I had a date, and I was with some other people. I said, I'll meet you out in the lobby. Went out in the lobby, and there I ran, met this person, and they were reading. They were reading the Oswald's book, 1984. And we started talking, gave her the gospel. People, be ready at any time. Be ready at all times. Let's set aside politics. One day you're going to die. Do you know where you're going to go when you die? Are you ready? You know what's going to happen to the real you, your soul? Where will you spend eternity? People, have a pamphlet. Have a pamphlet. We've got some that we have. We have Salvation by Grace. Just a simple passage, pamphlet, that goes through biblically explaining salvation. We have another one, Salvation as a Pattern for Spirituality. You give them both. You give them salvation and spirituality. Pick up your own. One that I have liked over the years, Have You Considered Him? It's a powerful little pamphlet. So anything that you find that fits you, that you want to use, use it. Share it with us. Share it with me. I'll tell everybody about it. If you know of a pamphlet that really is effective for this age group or that, let me know. Let me know. Be ready. See? Then, of course, we have David Hunt's book. We have our black book, The Gospel for Christians. I don't think you can get these in your pocket, but these you can just carry in your purse, in your pocket, and have it there. Big deal. Have it there. Don't carry cigarettes anymore. Carry a pamphlet for Christ. See? Just have it ready. Be able and ready to show them and go with them some of the steps. Take advantage of the mercy of God. One, prayer. Two, witness. Now the third, hope. Hope. That's what they want. That's what they're looking for. And you got it. You got it. Hope starts off Philippians 4:13. Philippians 4:13. A simple little verse, but ever so powerful. I can do all things through Him who strengthens me. Can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Philippians 4:13. You can witness to anyone. You can be ready in prayer and to witness. One thing a lot of people are doing in America and around the world is what we call chain reaction. Since this, then this. Trump's elected, I want to explode. I want to blow up something. I want to burn the flag. I want to skip class. I want to show I'm not a good citizen. I want to show I have hate. I have real hate. He hates, but I hate. I hate everything. I hate America. Chain reaction. Chain reaction. Well, let me tell you something about chain reaction. God has His chain reaction. Look at Romans chapter 5. Romans chapter 5. God's chain reaction. Get in it. Let's start our reading with confidence of where we are as believers in Christ. Romans 5:1. Therefore, having been justified, doctrine of justification, by faith, doctrine of faith. The most important thing about faith that I can say is, your faith the faith God is looking for? Is your faith in the member of the Godhead, or is your faith in, if I do this, then God will bless me? What's the object of your faith? Do you have the faith God is looking for? Then it says, we have peace, doctrine of propitiation, with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Please be ready to tell others of all that Jesus Christ did for them and does for them. Now, I don't suggest ordinarily you use such words as propitiation, They might think you're a little weird. Just calm down. There's words like satisfaction and peace they understand. So those are good words for giving this gospel. Verse 2, through whom also we have obtained our introduction by faith into this grace in which we stand, and we exalt in hope of the glory of God. There's our hope. There's our confidence. Now verse 3. And not only this, but we also exalt in our tribulation, knowing, now we start our chain reaction before God. And it starts with knowing that tribulation brings about perseverance. We don't give up. We don't go out and march. We don't burn the flag. We don't destroy. We persevere in God and His plan, His word, His strength. Verse 4, and perseverance, proven character. Character of Jesus Christ. Let me tell you what that means. That means you give stability to society. I think one of the reasons we have been given the mercy of God is for the remnant. And those of you who have the stability of character, proven character, that's what stabilizes a society. Proven character. That's the husband who is the head of his whole marriage. That's the home that teaches their children to love the Lord. That's the home that fulfills the plan of God. That's what stabilizes a society. It's not the free people out roaming around, not the cowboys and all that kind of stuff. The people who are stable in their soul and in what they do as unto the Lord. And proven character, what's a chain reaction? Hope. And hope, verse 5, does not disappoint. Why doesn't hope disappoint? Because the love of God has been poured out within our hearts through or by means of the Holy Spirit who was given to us. The moment we believe in Christ, you're given the Holy Spirit. Whether or not hope disappoints has to do with the object of your hope. This flow of the chain react, God's chain reaction. First, know pertinent doctrine. Then go through some suffering, tribulation in life. Then exalt in tribulation. Plus the Holy Spirit produces endurance. Endurance, proven faith. And proven faith produces hope. Now, why hope? First, prayer. Two, witness. And three, hope. Why hope? Hope does not arise from your desires or your wishes, but who God is. Should be the hope of every believer. Let's look at Psalm 39. Psalm 39, verse 7. Psalm 39, 7. And now, Lord, for what do I wait? My hope is in you. What a beautiful combination of words. I wait while my hope is in you, O God. You know what the Word of God says? Hope is associated with happiness and of the righteous. Proverbs 10:28. Hope is associated with happiness. Hope is associated with a firm assurance about things that are unseen and still in the future. Let's turn to Romans 8 again. Romans 8. Verse 24 and 25. For in hope we have been saved. But hope that is seen is not hope. For who hopes for what he already sees? But if we hope for what we do not see, with perseverance we wait eagerly for it. That's what hope does. People, if your hope is in Donald Trump, then your hope is not biblical. If your hope is in the Republicans turning the nation around, your hope is not biblical. But if your hope is in the Lord, if your hope is in God and His working in history, no matter what happens, then your hope is a solid foundation and will bring happiness to your own soul. Now, Scripture combines two of our points on taking advantage of the mercy of God. Look at 1 Peter chapter 3. 1 Peter chapter 3. Verse 15. But sanctify Christ as Lord in your hearts. People, you do that. You set Christ aside in your hearts, always ready to make a defense to everyone who asks you to give an account for the hope that is in you, yet do it with gentleness and perseverance. Please let your hope rest in the Lord, not in Trump, not in the Republicans, but in the Lord. And note what it says, be ready. Be ready at the drop of a hat to give defense of your hope, of your relationship with the Lord. You give hope, the gospel to others, and you purify your own hope. Look at 1 John 3. 1 John 3, again, if you can find Revelation, you can find 1 John. 1 John 3. What's the importance of hope? 1 John 3, 3. And everyone who has this hope fixed on Him, fixed on Christ, purifies himself. That's the importance of hope. Just as He is pure in Christ. Now, one final point for you, if you're a Christian. Where are you going to get this hope? Some of you may get it in circumstances going on in the country. But I, as your pastor, want you to know where you ought to get your hope. Look at Romans 15. Romans 15. Verse 13. Now, may the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, so that you will abound in hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. Hope is a product of the Holy Spirit. Prayer depends on the Holy Spirit. Witnessing depends on the Holy Spirit. Got to have that daily relationship with the Holy Spirit. Now, let me just close with this. As for me, pastor of this church, I will simply continue doing what I've been doing for 43 plus years. I will continue to teach the Word of God. Look at 2 Timothy chapter 3. 2 Timothy chapter 3. Verse 16, all Scripture, Old and New Testament, is inspired by God and profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, for training in righteousness, so that the man of God may be adequately equipped for every good work. Chapter 4, verse 1, I solemnly charge you in the presence of God and of Christ Jesus, who is to judge the living and the dead, and by His appearing at His kingdom. Preach the word, be ready in season and out of season. That means when people are positive, when they're not positive. Reprove, rebuke, exhort with greatness and with great patience and instruction. So people, in light of the election, take advantage of the mercy of God. Three ways: by prayer, thanksgiving, and intercessory, and personal. Witnessing. Tell others where your hope is. Tell others about Christ. And then thirdly, hope. That's what they want. That's what they need. And you have it.
Sometimes things get dark. The veil occurs where we don't see the face of Christ. When darkness veils his lovely face, I rest in his unchanging grace. In every high and stormy gale, my anchor holds within the veil. His oath, his covenant, his love, support me in the overwhelming flood. When all around my soul gives way, he then is all my hope and stay.
Number 337, would you sing the last, first and last verse?
My hope is built on nothing less than Jesus Christ, my righteousness. I dare not trust the sweetest frame, but wholly lean on Jesus' name. Oh, Christ, the solid rock I stand, all other ground is sinking sand. Alone, faultless to stand before the throne. On Christ the solid rock I stand, all other ground is sinking sand. All other ground is sinking sand.
And verse number one, one more time.
My hope is built on nothing less than Jesus Christ, my righteousness. I dare not trust the sweetest frame, but wholly lean on Jesus' name. On Christ the solid rock I stand, all other ground is sinking sand.
Heavenly Father, we thank you for your mercy. We thank you for this period of mercy. It is our intent to take advantage of it in our prayers, in our witnessing, and in our hope. Father, we praise you in Christ's name. Amen.